Lee actually showing up to speak with real voters, including the kinds of voters who work in barber shops and at McDonald's, Lee, is mocking them.
Oh, really?
Yes, it's mocking them.
Okay.
This is making fun of them, and the Democrats don't appreciate it. It would be much better if you simply ignored them, like Her Highness does.
Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Right. So let's just play this. There's something incredibly ironic about this. Tim Walz was out there, as was AOC, wailing on Trump for actually walking in there.
Vice President Harris and I grew up middle class. We understand that. She actually worked in a McDonald's. She didn't go and pander and disrespect McDonald's workers by standing there in your red tie and take a picture.
How does that disrespect? I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't get it. Actually, showing up and being among the people, the working people there. This absolutely makes no sense. This Harris-Walz campaign is probably one of the worst presidential campaigns in my political history that I can remember. And I've seen some bad ones.
Yeah, they are so out of touch that it is almost shocking. Well, AOC doubled down, same thing. Saying this is awful to do to people. You're mocking them by showing up in a suit. You shouldn't do that. Here's what she said. Okay. So in other words, the message is it is best to just not show up, right? You just don't talk to these people. Don't talk to working class people. Be like us. And I'm going to give you the punchline on this in just a sec. I can't play the audio for you because my computer is spinning. It's not working today. Okay.
You.
So just pretend I've played the AOC
audio.
Okay. Let's pull this back up then. Oh, here we go. All right, let's try this. This is AOC saying the same thing.
Donald Trump putting on a little McDonald's costume because he thinks that's what people do. They're not trying to empathize with us. They are making fun of us. They are making fun of us.
Okay, I can't listen anymore.
I'm sorry, but wearing the uniform McDonald's is what people do at McDonald's.
Let's go talk about what happened when Kamala Harris and Tim Walz went to a restaurant, shall we?
Yeah.
Headline, UK Daily Mail. This is August 19th. If you want to look it up, diners tear into Kamala Harris's campaign for kicking them out of Pittsburgh restaurant to bus in their own crowd for a campaign stunt. Headline, UK Daily Mail. It was the headline story that day.
In other words, you customers are not good enough to be seen with us.
No. So understand when the Democrats and Tim Walz are saying, oh, Trump made fun of them by stopping and talking to them. They would have thrown them clean out of the restaurant, brought actors in and talked to the actors instead who were paid to appear to like them. This is UK Daily Mail. U.S. media ignored this. A group of diners sitting down to enjoy Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania's famous Premonti Brothers sandwiches were surprised and outraged Saturday after they were told by staff to leave. They had to leave by 4 p.m., UK Daily Mail says. It was a typical Saturday afternoon as a handful of patrons sat for beers, food, baseball, were soon disrupted thanks to a visit from Vice President Harris. They then watched after they were kicked out as van loads of actors were shipped in and seated so that Harris and Walz could then go in and interact with them. So I suppose that's what Walz means, right? That's what Harris means. You should ship in actors because talking to actual people somehow demeans that. Meanwhile, you've got Donald Trump at real actual barbershop.
Yeah.
With real actual people who own the barbershop. They didn't send in actors. So I guess that's demeaning, right? If you really want to treat the serfs right, you kick them out. So you don't actually have to touch them, shake their hands, do things like that. And you ship in actors is what you do. By the way, not the first time they've done it. Let's go to this. Univision. Remember that? Undecided voter forum. That's what they told Americans Kamala was doing. Las Vegas. Hosted by Univision, billed as an opportunity for undecided Latino voters to question the vice president. Well, it turns out that half of them were paid actors who were shipped in, these rent-a-crowd companies, and the other half were flown in by the network. So this is how, I guess, Donald Trump's actually supposed to interact with people.
Yeah, the thing about the rest of them being brought in by the network, that to me is a scandal.
Oh, it is. It's all a scandal.
You know, I mean, it's one thing if you know, ship in your own folks. I mean, let's face it, a lot of these political events, of course, they're staged. They have to be. But, you know, and I can understand them having supporters in there, whatever, I can understand. But for the network itself to be involved in, you know, stacking the crowd, that's not journalism.
No. Meanwhile, Kamala Harris has another town hall hosted by Maria Shriver. It's getting ready to start. Somebody in the audience asks, hey, can I ask Her Highness a question? No, you cannot. The mic was on and Shriver answers the question. Take a listen to this. Okay, so this is interacting with the people by the Tim Walz definition.
You're not, unfortunately. We have some predetermined questions, and hopefully I'll be able to ask some of the questions that might be in your head. I hope so.
That's great. That's great. Thank you, Maria. Thank you. That's great.
Meanwhile, and if you can go online and watch it, Trump sat down with the barbers who actually work in the actual barber shop and took questions. And by the way, the father and the son who own the barbershop are Democrats.
Yeah, registered Democrats.
Registered Democrats. They're not fake people. It's actually their barbershop.
Yeah.
Which apparently is demeaning if you go speak to the actual serfs rather than actors playing serfs, I guess. See, what I just did there is fair journalism, okay? Yeah. That's fair. That's her actual record of avoiding constituents at all costs. This is a woman who won't even talk to reporters, okay? Never mind the actual people. Never mind actually touching them, breathing the same air, hanging out shoulder to shoulder like Trump did. Not possible. And you know what I keep saying? You know, when you're dating somebody before you get married, you're on your best behavior.
Yeah, supposedly.
Right.
Well, most of us are.
Most of us, right? Like normal people. What is she going to be like as president?
Oh, I don't even want to know.
If she won't even touch, speak to, deign to be part of regular people at this point. People who aren't actors or who are in a controlled situation brought in and they're not allowed to ask questions. Yet somehow putting on a suit and working a shift at a McDonald's is demeaning people, but kicking actual people out of the restaurant and bringing in actors to replace them when they weren't done with their dinner yet.
That's empowering.
And just wanted to watch sports. That's yes. Clear the serfs out of the way. It is literally something that royalty does. And you remember right after that article came out, which I still can't get over. I have it right here in this stack of like evergreens. I started calling her highness because that is exactly what royalty would do. They would shove the serfs aside for whatever it is they wanted to do. And that's what they did. And you got to go and read in the UK Daily Mail if you want to find out about it. Texter writes, Tira, Kamala only hangs out with celebrities. Common people are icky to her. Another texter writes, Harris and Walz are worried about a Joe the Plumber incident. Listen, Donald Trump is a controversial guy, Lee.
Yeah.
Every time he goes into one of these places, he's taking a chance that somebody there doesn't like him and might say something to his face. He doesn't care.
Yeah. Well, he can handle it.
Yeah, that's the thing. He can handle it. Texter writes, Tira, they are just butthurt that Trump is making hay off their lies about her working at a McDonald's. Did you see the New York Times fact check?
Oh, yeah. That was ridiculous.
Gosh.
Good grief.
Oh, I got to wind this up properly in the next segment.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a real good story about the state of American journalism.
They write, they know she worked at McDonald's because the campaign said so, and so did a friend of hers. I have friends that'll tell you lots of great things about me.
Yeah.
They will, if you just ask them. But you know what you could ask for instead of a friend, like instead of, hey, she worked at McDonald's, how about your tax returns? What year did you work there? Yep. Was it a privately owned franchise? Who owned it? Mm-hmm. Who was your manager? You know, I don't know about you, I will never forget the name or face of my first manager. I worked at Eckerd's.
Okay, cool.
I was a checkout cashier. His name was Mark. Where's Mark? Come on, I know you remember. That first job looms large in your mind, right? Yeah. What year did you work there? How long did you work there? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, I mean, I know how much my paycheck, I can remember my first paycheck. It's burning in my brain. It was a little over $200. I could not believe that was all I got after the taxes came out. It seemed like I had worked forever. In my mind, it was supposed to be like $500 or $600. And there it was. It was like $236 good and some grief. Change.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's it?
See, I my first job, paid job outside of working on the farm, was at a mill in Anderson County. And I think the minimum wage then was like $1.25 an hour. So it was a long time before I ever made a check, a paycheck. And I was working part time. It was a long time before I ever made a check that was over $100.
Yeah. Finally, texter writes in the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line 71307 if you want to text us. Could you imagine her kicking members of the G8 out of the conference room and replacing them with actors? Actually, I could.
Yeah, I was just fixing to say, Tara, yes, I could. I could really see that. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, these people are hypocrites. Well, the party of democracy says they have to save democracy from us. You notice they never define democracy. We're not a democracy. We're a republic. We always have been since the founding. In fact, if you pull up the text to the Constitution Bill of Rights and you text search the words democracy, they do not appear. The word Republican, it does, though, as in Republican form of government. This is a republic. This is not a democracy, thank God. If it were a democracy, one key sign of that would be that Donald Trump would not have been the president in 2016. Hillary Clinton would have. She got the most votes in the popular vote. But we're not a democracy, thank God. And so Donald Trump was the president because he won the Electoral College. Well, even Democrat voters are showing signs of buyer's remorse over the party's unprecedented electoral moves, the coup. New poll asks voters whether they agree or disagree. Listen to this. The process the Democrat Party used to select its nominee for president did not yield the strongest candidate. You think? What percentage agree with that? 58%. Say they either strongly agree or somewhat agree that the process the Democrat Party used to select its nominee did not yield the strongest candidate. She is the single least popular Democrat on the national scene. How about this poll question? The process the Democrat Party used to select Kamala Harris as its nominee was undemocratic. How many agree with that? 52%. How about this one? I lost significant faith in the Democrat Party because it did not disclose Biden's health issues during the primary process. This is an INI tip poll. I lost significant faith in the Democrat Party because it did not disclose Biden's health issues during the primary process. 54%. Why is that a big deal? Because if those issues had been acknowledged instead of the media just lying about them and blacking them out, they might have fielded another candidate to run against Joe Biden. And the Democrat Party knew that the odds were that'd be an outsider candidate. So it'd be like RFK, Bernie, somebody like that, that they, while they're all leftists, they don't necessarily control the way that they do Joe and Kamala. In other words, somebody who didn't answer to the mysterious they keep telling us is actually running the country. Let's jump on over to the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line. Texter writes, there's no evidence Hillary Clinton would have won in 2016 if there was not an electoral. Yes, there is. It's called the popular vote. You can look it up. She got more votes than he did. Wish that wasn't the case, but she did. Texter writes, Tara, I agree. Harris the Horrible is lying about having Harris the Horrible. Worked, it's like, oh, that's royalty, right? I get it. Royal title. Tara, I agree. Harris the Horrible is lying about having worked at McDonald's. There would be proof. My first job was the Burger King over by Wade Hampton High School, where the QT is now. The customer service skills I learned from my manager, Heatherly, I still use with patience every day. Texter writes, my parents opened a sandwich shop on the brand new Columbia Mall. I was a senior at Irmo, 1981. Now the texter writes, my first manager name was Johnny Farmer. And yes, I teased him about his name. I bet you remember. You remember the manager's name, don't you? I bet you remember your coworkers' names. That's one of those things that just looms larger than life in your mind, that first job. Oh, I still know my manager's first and last name. I know what my first paycheck was. This New York Times fact check on her working at McDonald's is hilarious. It says that she did work at McDonald's because the campaign and her friends say so. She found one friend who told the New York Times, hey, she worked there. And that was good enough for the Times. Think that'd be good enough if Trump tried that? And there was no other evidence he'd worked at McDonald's? Of course not. Of course not. Keep in mind, folks, this is the same New York Times who last week, to get Her Highness out of a plagiarism scandal, brought in a plagiarism expert and lied to him. They only gave him 5 of the 13 examples of plagiarism, and he agreed it was plagiarism, but that wasn't that bad. He then later found out on Twitter from other people on Twitter, they had only showed him part of what she'd written. He looked at the rest and said it was worse than he told the Times. Why? Because they lied. They gigged him. This is what counts for journalism. If you're one of my trolls who've wandered in here, you got to realize what your media does to you. They lie. They lie on behalf of Kamala Harris. Something our media does not do on behalf of Donald Trump. From the, can you even imagine if Trump did this file? Another instance of plagiarism by Kamala Harris breaking overnight. This time by the Washington Free Beacon. I don't know how the New York Times is going to lie their way out of this one. Turns out Kamala Harris appears to have plagiarized pages of congressional testimony from a Republican colleague. It's 2007 and she testified before Congress. She wanted to sound smart, very ambitious. She testified in support of the John R. Justice Prosecutors and Defenders Incentive Act of 2007. So that would have paid off the student loans of people who become prosecutors. Prosecutors aren't paid a lot. That would allow them to stay in that lowly paid field instead of having to go to the private sector. Okay. She wanted to sound smart. She'd been invited to testify. What's a good way to sound smart? I know. Rip off somebody else's testimony and use it as your own. Take it right out of the congressional record. And that's what she did. Virtually her entire testimony about the bill was taken from that of another district attorney, Paul Loegle, of Winnebago County, Illinois, who had testified in support of legislation 2 months earlier, before the Senate Judiciary Committee. Both statements cite the same surveys, use the same language, points made in the same order. There has been a paragraph added here or there, but they even contain the same typos, such as missing punctuation, or mistaken plurals. One error, a who that should have been a whom, remained in both. The main difference between their testimonies is that Loegle, the victim, submitted his to the Senate instead of the House. And unlike Harris, Loegle is a Republican. Washington Free Beacon has it. It's remarkable. Word for word, it's almost identical. Actually, it is identical. Wow, I'm just looking at this. Holy cow. Yeah, she put a short 2-sentence paragraph in hers that he did not have. And he has a paragraph in his at the end that she cut off. Otherwise, it's the same. It's the same testimony. She cut out another one of his paragraphs. Took it word for word. Folks, if Trump did this, if any Republican did this, oh, Katie, bar the door. It would never end. And folks, you know what? The New York Times still has not updated its first lies on this. They, again, brought in a supposed world plagiarism expert. And they showed him 5 of the 13 accused instances of plagiarism in her book. He looked at them, agreed they were plagiarism, but said it wasn't that big of a deal. Not the end of the world. What about the other 8? Other reporters didn't mention those to him. So he has a Twitter account, and folks were able to find him on Twitter and go, wait, what did you think about the rest of the plagiarism? He didn't know about it. He didn't know about it. So he then actually, he admitted, I didn't read her book. I just believed the New York Times reporter that she'd shown me all the instances. So he then turns around and says, okay, I'm going to go get her book. I'm going to take a look at the rest of it. He then goes back on Twitter and writes this. For those coming here for the New York Times article, I want to be clear that I have not performed a full analysis of the book. My quotes were based on information provided to me by the reporters and spoke only about these passages. So he goes back, reads it, and then admits that it's worse than he told the New York Times. Well, of course it is. They lied to you, buddy. So I don't know how they're going to cover this up. By the way, the reporter who broke that story about plagiarism in Her Highness, the New York Times called him a racist. Well, how are you a racist for accurately pointing out plagiarism? I don't know. Even the plagiarism expert the Times used admitted it was plagiarism. But it's Her Highness, so it's okay. You should see this. It is remarkable. Quotes in the same place. Here's what she wrote. It's about how prosecutors have to pay off their law school debt and then they're so broke that they can't afford to be prosecutors. They both said exactly these words. A memo from an assistant district attorney to a supervisor in Pennsylvania illustrates this very problem. And then same exact quote, identical. Beyond recruitment and retention difficulties caused by the high cost of attending law school and low salaries paid to local prosecutors, would she write? Beyond recruitment and retention difficulties caused by the high cost of attending law school and the low salaries paid to local it's the same. Folks, somebody needs to ask Her Highness, Joe Biden 30 years ago had to drop out of the presidential race because of plagiarism. Should she have to drop out? I mean, I don't want her to drop out. She's incredibly unpopular. They're covering for her right now. I mean, they're covering for her in ways that are shocking. Texter writes, I'm told in my classes that plagiarism is plagiarism, period. Another texter writes, NPR is now attacking UFC for promoting Donald Trump. Oh, did you see what they did to the McDonald's? Newsweek, Washington Post, they went and pulled all their inspection reports. Apparently, sometimes they don't wear gloves when they're preparing your meal. They are trying to destroy the McDonald's for daring to host Donald Trump. This is what the left does now. They can't debate you anymore, so they just destroy you. Texter writes, good morning, Tara. Love the show. They knew about Joe as soon as the DOJ wouldn't prosecute him for the classified document scandal due to his inability to stand trial due to his mental health issues. Good point. Our side, and to be fair, our side really reported that in depth. They didn't. Texter writes, when I was going for my graduate degree, I could not cite more than 5 words from any source without giving credit to that source. The penalty for plagiarism was possible expulsion from the program. I guess common people are held to higher standards. Texter writes, Tara, no one has to cover up her plagiarism because her voters don't care and no one will ever prosecute her for it. I don't think you can prosecute somebody for it. Texter writes, plagiarism is theft. Another texter writes, Tara, I remember my first manager, Ernie Bowen at Hardee's in Pelzer. He was a great manager. I worked the front line taking customers' orders and occasionally had the honor of dropping fries and pies. By the way, they opened at 11 a.m. because way back then, the late 70s, they didn't serve breakfast. Really? The Hardee's didn't serve breakfast. Oh my gosh. That's so fun. I didn't know that. I learn something every day when I do this show. Yeah, so Kamala Harris, New York Times writes with a straight face. She worked at McDonald's because the campaign says so, and we talked to her friend. You think they'd take that from Donald Trump? No, they'd want to see tax documents. They would want to be put in touch with the manager, owner, if it's a privately owned franchise, some of them are, co-workers, anything. And that was the point of me saying that earlier. I remember my first manager's name. I remember his face. Texter writes, hey, Tara, we voted early in Henderson County at the only site available at the Board of Elections. It looks discouraging when you get there because Old Spartanburg Highway is blocked off, but they have a sign to enter on Broadway from Spartanburg. park at O'Reilly's parking lot. Once there, shuttles take you to the building, and it's very smooth and organized. We were in and out in 20 minutes. No reason not to go. Yes, if you live in North Carolina, you have got to go. Folks, let me ask you a question. I got this text yesterday from a friend of mine. I said I would use this in like the whole show today. Because this is a mess. She went yesterday to vote early because she had been listening to me. Just tried to vote early on lunch break, she writes. Hour wait to get in. This is in Spartanburg. This is early voting. Hour wait to get in. Traffic backed up. Police directing. People parking on adjacent properties and walking in. I had to leave, but do not fear. I will be back, she wrote. Your message to vote early is so important. So she texts me later on in the day and writes, voted at 4:30, only 30 minutes. So she found an off time to go. What does this tell you? Well, if this is early voting, what is Election Day going to be like? If you live in Georgia, if you live in North Carolina, there's 8 days left to early vote. You cannot wait till Election Day. Do not do that. By the way, I just interviewed the GOP party chairman a couple days ago from Henderson County, and he said, look, it was from the first day of early voting, so the lines were longer because there's pent-up demand. People had waited to vote. He said, we sat there in a parking lot. We watched 2-3% of the vote pull up and then drive off. And that's early voting. We can't lose 2-3% of the vote in North Carolina or Georgia. We'll lose this country. Okay? You gotta vote early. Texter writes, hey, Tara, my first job was Wendy's on Pleasant Brook Drive in Greenville. At the time, it was the first Wendy's in the state of South Carolina. Bet you remember your manager's full name, too. Like, I bet you could put the media in touch with your manager. Or at least give them the name of your manager. I bet you could. I'm just guessing, reading the text. We all could. Except Kamala. Are you going to vote? Good. You should vote early. If you live in Greenville County, let me ask you a question. Suppose that you went to buy a fairly major ticket item. Think like a suit. For work, right? Maybe a couple of suits. You put on a charge card. You expect to get the bill for that. And you do. You get the bill for it. Say you bought two suits. It's a pain, but, you know, you pay it. You're done. You're glad you've paid it, right? You have a sense of accomplishment. Then the bill comes. A second bill for the same two suits. And you're like, well, no, wait a minute. I already paid for this. Let me just call the company. There must be some misunderstanding. Why am I being billed twice? And so you call, excuse me, I already paid this bill. I paid off the suit. Well, you have to pay twice. I have to pay twice? Yeah, you have to pay twice. For the same suit? Yeah. You owe the money. Okay. You'd be really mad, right? Like, you'd be calling up the chain of command. You'd be like, this is crazy. You can't bill me twice. That's theft. But it's also what the Greenville County Council is doing right now. With this roads initiative. See, they figure you're in so much pain from sitting in all that traffic that you might think that the penny sales tax that's on the ballot is going to fix that, is going to do something that the state gas tax doesn't already do. But you're wrong. This is like paying off two suits that you bought and then having to pay for those same two suits again. Why? Because the list of roads is loaded with state roads. Wait, you're going to raise my sales tax a penny from 6-7% in Greenville County in order to pay to pave roads that my gas tax already paid for? Yeah. Well, is there not enough money from the gas tax? Oh, they have a surplus. Yeah, they can't even get to all the roads fast enough, which is actually the problem. They have a surplus. So it's not that the state doesn't have enough money. No, it's not. In fact, remember, the state just found that extra $1 billion. Remember that? They don't even know where it came from. That's just sitting there. But they don't even need that. They have, again, collected all the money they ever intended to collect and more from the sales tax. They should just go ahead and end it, honestly, because it's enough to film to do all the paving that they said they would do. So you want me to pay again to pave state roads with a county sales tax? Uh-huh. Does that make any sense? No. No, it makes no sense. Rick Bradley talking to WYFF Channel 4. He's Greenville County's District 6 councilman, said, "We didn't really take the time to discuss the $1.8 billion price." No, they didn't. He says that the majority of the roads on the list are state roads, get this, that are going to be paved. With what? Oh, the money you already paid for the first suit. The money you already paid for the gas tax. He says, "We pay a gasoline tax for that, so I'm not in favor of just throwing more money at a project that we already have money for." Folks, this is so stupid. What? Look, okay, why don't we vote this thing down? If they want a penny sales tax for more roads, I'm all about fighting congestion. Let's use the money for new roads to ease congestion. Not throw it away on roads we've already paid to pay. This is so stupid. And talk about a way to waste $1.8 billion. You know what I think? I think this has got to be some of these council members are in knee deep with these companies that pave roads and do this road work. And they want to help their friends out. I can't imagine why you'd do something this dumb. By the way, we're going to hear from a county council member who tried to stop it coming up next, who couldn't even get simple answers like, "Hey, why don't we pave these roads and bill the state since they're, state roads?"